The lesson this morning that I call The Many Sides of Love was prompted by our study of the prodigal son and the love that the father had for the son that was lost. Because a lot of times you'll hear someone say, or maybe several people say, well, we just need to love each other. And certainly that's very true. But what does that mean? A lot of times when people say that, they're just talking about having certain feelings or certain emotions for someone. But what does it mean when we say we need to love each other in a biblical way? We need to love as God loves. So what does biblical love look like? And so this morning we're going to look at three things in particular that we should associate with biblical love. And we'll see that biblical love isn't always exactly like the love that people think about in our world. First of all, biblical love, and whenever I use the word love, I'm going to be talking about biblical love, that agape love that is so prevalent in the New Testament. First of all, love is discerning. What do I mean by discerning? It discriminates. That's not a bad term. Discriminate just means that you look at something and you're able to make judgments, that you're able to distinguish between one thing and another. Sometimes we talk about love being critical. And again, the word critical is not a bad term. It just means that you can look at something and see it for what it is. So biblical love sees things as they really are. It's not a rose-colored glasses type of love. It's not a pie-in-the-sky type of love. It's not a cotton candy type of love. Biblical love sees things as they really are, not necessarily as they might wish they were or hope they were, but as they really are. Because biblical love is never satisfied with half-truths. It's never satisfied with half the story. In other words, biblical love sees things as they are in truth. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, here John probably talks more about love in his gospel account and in his three epistles than about anyone else. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, John writes this, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Now, he doesn't mean by that, of course, that we're not to say anything about love or use words dealing with love. But he says, that's not where it needs to end. When we say we love someone, it is supposed to be shown in what we do for that person. So it's not enough just to say, I love you. You must show in your deeds and in your actions that you love them. So he says, love is to be done in deed and in truth. See, love must be done in truth. Love, in other words, is not blind. Love cannot be blind. Not biblical love. Biblical love, again, must see things as they really are. Which means biblical love does not shut its eyes at the faults of others. Nor does it shut its eyes at our own faults. So biblical love is like putting on clear glasses that gives you perfect vision, 20/20. Biblical love is about seeing things clearly. So, love does not shut its eyes at the faults of others. Love will rebuke when necessary. Love will discipline if needed. And that is because that's how God is. That's what God does. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer emphasizes this aspect of God's love. And because God is love, as the Bible tells us, then whatever he does is in love. So when he disciplines, if he disciplines, it is in love. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll begin reading in verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. The writer says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, or the discipline of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you're without chastening or discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening or discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Now here the writer says this is what God does for us. In other words, if you want to be called a child of God and not illegitimate, then you're going to receive discipline from God. You're going to receive scourging. You're going to receive chastening from God. Why? Because if God does it, it's for your own good. That's what he says. He says, and makes the announcement, look at your human parents. A human parent, if they really love their child, will chasten, will discipline. Why? Because they love them. They want that child to grow up to be a respectful, a well-mannered adult. But for that to happen, discipline must be applied. So love will rebuke if necessary. Love will discipline if needed. Paul, when he wrote to the churches in Galatia, to the Christians in those churches, said this in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Paul had some very straightforward things to say to those Christians. And so he says, because I'm telling you the truth about these things, is that going to make you hate me? Are you going to think that I'm an enemy now because I'm simply telling you the truth, the way things really are? Of course, hopefully not. But that's what love is. Love sees things as they really are. Love does not gloss over faults of anyone. Love doesn't, put on those rose-colored glasses so that everything is great. No, love sees things as they really are and then takes appropriate action. Whatever that appropriate action is. And sometimes that appropriate action is discipline. But it's a discipline that's given to help that person. It's to help. So love is discerning. It's discriminating. It makes distinctions. It sees things as they really are. But love is also demanding. Love can be very demanding. And the reason it can be demanding is because love is more than a feeling or an emotion. Now, love includes feelings and emotions. We don't throw feelings and emotions out. But love includes feelings and emotions. But it's much more than that. Biblical love is shown when we keep God's commandments. In 1 John chapter 5, going back to the apostle of love, in 1 John 5, verse Notice verses 2 and 3. 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. God has not given us anything that is bad for us. All the commands that He has given us are good for us. Every single one of them. And that's why they're not burdensome. Everything. The things He tells us to avoid. The things He tells us to do. Every single one of those are for our good. For our benefit. Why? Because God loves us. And again, we go back to the parent-child relationship. Parents set boundaries. They set limits. Why? Because it's good for that child. Now, those boundaries and limits change as the child grows, but that's the way it's supposed to be. God does that for us. He has set limits for us. He's given us boundaries. He's given us principles to live by. Not because He's a harsh, demanding God, because He's not. He's a loving God, and that's why we have them. Because those things are necessary for us to grow. Absolutely essential. Can you imagine a coach of an athlete and never giving the athlete any sort of restrictions about how much they need to practice or times they need to be in bed or what they need to eat? Well, that coach wouldn't be much of a coach. That coach applies discipline because without it, without those restrictions and boundaries and limits, that athlete will never become what that athlete is capable of becoming. So love is demanding. And if we really love God, we're going to keep those commandments. We're going to stay within those boundaries. We're not going to transgress those boundaries, those limits. We're going to follow God's instructions and His principles. Those who love God will hate evil and worldliness. Still, in 1 John, going back to the second chapter in verse 15, John says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So those who love God will hate worldliness, will hate evil, will hate sin, immorality of any kind. Love is demanding, which means love does not indulge. Love does not indulge. Permissiveness is not a sign of love. It's not a sign of love. Letting someone do absolutely whatever they want under any circumstances is not a sign that that person is loved. Matter of fact, permissiveness can be very unloving because it's basically saying, "I don't care." That's what permissiveness is. When we indulge someone, we're basically saying, "I don't care about you. You do whatever you want. Go wherever you want, say whatever you want, do whatever you want." And when we look at the life of Christ as it's presented in the four accounts of the gospel, Jesus did not indulge people. And just think about all the accounts where He did not indulge people. When He went into the temple in Jerusalem twice, at the beginning of His ministry and toward the end, He saw those money changers in there. He didn't indulge them, saying, "Well, I understand why you're doing it," and so forth. No! He got angry and kicked them out. He wasn't permissive. The rich young ruler that came to him. The permissive thing to do would be for Jesus to indulge the rich young ruler and say, "You know, you've accumulated all those riches and you can just keep them and use them any way you want." That wasn't the loving thing to do. The mother of James and John, remember, she wanted her two sons to sit on the right and left hand of Christ, you know, be in the throne, and be the, have the highest seats. Did Jesus indulge her and say, you know, your two sons are really, really good. We should put them up. No, he didn't indulge. Jesus did not indulge at all. Love is demanding, which means love has to say no. Love has to say no. If we truly love someone, hard things may need to be done for their good. Hard things, difficult things. Sometimes we call it tough love. We can call it whatever we want. Someone that never says no, a parent that never, ever says no to their child, doesn't love them. It's plain and simple. In Proverbs chapter 3, the wise man gives us some instructions to parents. He says in Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12, the following. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. See, the human father corrects the son that he delights in. Why does he correct him and discipline? Because he delights in him. That's why. God said no to Moses. Moses had done wonderful things when God told him to lead the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and go through the sea and all these other things he did. But he did one thing very wrong. He disobeyed God. The second time when they were needing water, God told Moses, speak to the rock and water will come out. What did Moses do? He struck the rock like he had done the first time. Well, the first time God had told him to strike the rock. The second time God told him, speak to the rock. Well, Moses didn't listen to God. He did what he had done the first time. And that cost him getting to go into the promised land. God said, no, Moses, you're not going into the promised land. God told no to King David. King David was a friend of God. He walked in God's ways. He followed God. But because David was a warrior, he wasn't going to be allowed to build the house of the Lord. That would fall to Solomon. God told David no. Countless times we see that in the Bible. Well, God told people no. So no is sometimes appropriate. Think about the letters Paul wrote, whether it was to individuals like Timothy or Titus, or ones where he wrote to churches like in Corinth or Rome or different places. Think about all the no's that he used in those letters. Paul was not afraid to tell people no. And in the last book in the Bible, written by John in Revelation 3, notice what John says in verse 19. These are the words of Christ. John writes, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I discipline. Love is demanding. And lastly, love is deliberate. By deliberate, I mean love is real. It's sincere. It's genuine. In Romans chapter 12, when Paul was writing to the church there, he's describing what love is, certain aspects of love. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, he writes, let love be without hypocrisy. A lot of people pretend to be loving, but in reality, they're not. Love is not superficial. It's not hypocritical. Love, as I mentioned, is more than an emotion or a feeling. Biblical love is about making deliberate choices. choices that involve the mind and the will. That is biblical love. It's something done day in and day out, regardless of how we feel. In other words, biblical love is not just about how we feel. Again, it's more than an emotion or a feeling. It's about choices, about making deliberate choices. I am going to do this. I don't want to do it. I don't feel like doing it, but I'm going to do it. Why? Because I love God, or I love this person, or I love. Love does not depend upon circumstances. That's what he's saying. It's consistent. It's reliable. And love does not always agree with someone. Love doesn't mean you're always patting someone on the back. It's not biblical love. But biblical love does mean self-sacrifice. Biblical love means self-sacrifice. And of course, we see that in the greatest example of all, and that's of Jesus. He sacrificed himself. Why? Because of love. That's what drove him to the cross. That's what motivated him to put up with everything he put up with, was love. So love demands self-sacrifice. Those are three sides of love. Yes, there's many others. But those are three sides of love that are commonly not thought much about, because they go so much against the idea of love in our society. Our society says love accepts everything. Love doesn't see faults. Love just glosses over things. Love says, you're okay and I'm okay. That is not biblical love. It's discerning. It's deliberate. It's demanding. That is biblical love, because that's how God loves. God's love is deliberate. It's demanding. And it discerns. Is that the kind of love that we're showing to the world? Love that sees clearly. Well, this lesson is yours. This morning you may need and desire to respond to that great gospel invitation. And if you do, we want you to come as we stand and sing this song. Let's stand, please.